So this week is Parshas Balayischa. We spoke about Parshas Balayischa last week. The Balayischa Zaneiris is the compensation that Hashem gave to Aaron HaKohen because his shevet didn't have a nasi to participate in the Chanukas HaMishkan. All the other nasiim represented the Shvatim, and they donated, they brought things. They brought things for the Chanukas HaMishkan. And each brought the same thing. And Shevet Levi didn't have that. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron, Atamete Vid Madlikas Aneiris, you're going to prepare the Neiris, you're going to light the Neiris. And Shalchag Deile Mishalahem, and your share in the Mishkan is greater than the share in the Siyam, because the Mizbeach is assidly bottled, the Mizbeach is going to be bottled, but Neiris Hem La'ilam, but the Neiris are forever. So Ramban says Neiris Hem La'ilam. So Ramban asks, just like the Mizbeach was charev, the menorah also was taken away. So how could you say Neiris Hem La'ilam? And Ramban answers, it's referring to Chanukah, because the Neis of Chanukah was Ufketan with the Chashmonaim, who were Mizera Aaron. They're from Aaron. So Neiris Hem La'ilam. So we explained that our halakas neiris, when we light on Chanukah, so when we look at the Chanukah neiris, we say, Elul Reis and Bavad, that the whole mitzvah of Chanukah is to light it, and then don't use it. We don't use the neiris. We look at them. The neiris are to see. We light in order to see. Because when we see, when we look into the neiris that we light, so number one, we see a physical light, we see fire. And number two, mixed in to the physical light, is the nace that was ufkatan, that was done in the times of Hanukkah. Because the lights in the time of Chanukah, they burned with an otherworldly light. The kayach of those lights was from another world. And if you looked at, even in the time of Chanukah, if you looked at those lights, you weren't able to tell that it was any different than any other lights. But in those lights, the oil for one day had potential for 8 days. Like we said, if one day's oil has potential for 8 days, that means the one day oil could have potential forever. There's no difference. You know? Once it's l'mala midrach ha-teva, there's no difference in how long it's l'mala midrach ha-teva. Once you break the gvul, that one day could burn for 2 days. So then, it's the same thing to burn for 3 days. It doesn't take more. 4 days, 8 days, forever. There's no gvul of teva anymore. So when the light, to the naked eye, the lights of Chanukah look like any other light. They lasted longer, though. So there was a gilui. There was a gilui that there's something different going on here. When we light Chanukah neiros, our Chanukah neiros look like ordinary light. And they don't even last for 8 days. They don't even last for 8 days. But the reason why they don't last for 8 days is because we're living in the time of Hester. Hashem doesn't perform open miracles in the time of Hester Panim. We're in Galus. And Nisim are also in Galus. Miracles are in Galus. Hashem constantly performs Nisim. But in the time of the first base of Migdash, when the Nisim were Begali, and after the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Nisim went underground. That's the word Gula and Galus. Gula and Galus both have the Sheirish. Gimel Lamed. Gula means that there's a Gile, and Galus is that the Gile goes underground. So it's the same Sheresh. But that's to the naked eye. To the naked eye, we don't see the miracle. But El Reisim Bavad. We light the Neris in order to see them. And the Rabban quotes the Chazal, Neris Heim La'ilam, that the Neris are forever. Those are the Neris from the Mishkan. Those are the Neris of the time before Korban Beis HaMikdash. I mean, the Mishkan in the first place of Midrash had something in common. The Mishkan in the first place of Midrash had something in common that the second base of Midrash did not have. That they both had the Shekhinah. The first base of Midrash had the Shekhinah. The Pasuk tells us that the first base of Midrash had the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah was Nizgal in the form of an Anan that would descend upon the Mishkan. And then a Kaddish Baruch would speak to the people, Bibena Kruvim. And there was something that people were able to see, they were able to point to. That means there was a Gilui HaShekhinah that was out in the open. The Nisim that we know from the first place of Midrash, they were there in the time of the Mishkan also. All the Nisim. After Korban Bayis Rishon, so then the Shekhinah, which represents Hashem's open relationship with Klal Yisrael, disappears. And Hashem still relates to Klal Yisrael, but not in an open manner. The second base of Midrash, he did not have the miracles of the first base of Midrash. There was no Oren, there was no Shekhinah. It was a Makom Kaddish, but there were no Nisim Galuyim. So Neiros Hem La'olam means the Neiros of Aaron, the Lamala Midrash HaTeva, lasts forever. And when they lit in Hanukkah, the reason why those lights lit for 8 days was because they got the kayak from the Neiros of Aaron lit in the time of the Mishkan. Because when Aaron lit Neiros in the time of the Mishkan, at the Meitiv Umadlik is a Neiros. When Aaron lit the menorah in the time of the Mishkan, the fire at that time was the Malam Midrash HaTeva. There's two of it's been doing in the Medrash. That you're going to be Meitiv and Madlik. Madlik means to light. What's Meitiv? Meitiv is to make them Taiv. Alright, so what's the Pashup Shat? Clean out the schmutz, put the right amount of oil in, have the wicks, roll up the wicks nicely, put them in the right direction, kiyadua, you know that the three on the right side, they pointed towards the center, the three on the left side pointed towards the center, the one in the middle went straight up, be meitiv. But the word meitiv, which we translate as good, means a lot. It's a lot deeper than that. Meitiv. The word meitiv. The first time we see the word meitiv is Vayara Lekim is Kol Asher Asa Vinei Tayv Ma'id. Hashem by Bias Eilam. That's where you find the word Tayv. Leitayv Yes Adam Levadei. Adam by himself is Leitayv. Adam with Chava is yes, Taiv. Hashem saw all of creation, and that's Taiv. Maybe we're used to, you know, certain biblical verses, and the Lord saw that all he was created, and it was good. And we nod, because everybody talked like that back in Bible times, because they did the Fatsus, and the Fatsus, and the these, the thous, and it was good. And we never ask ourselves, why would the Torah say that God saw everything they created, it was good? It's like, you know, is God, chas v'shalom, like a person that builds, you know, renovates a house, and then looks around at his handiwork and says, looks good, good job. You know, the tucks and the nips and the tucks and the points, they meet in the corners. I did the router perfectly, and the joint and the joints and the studs. It's good job. It came out good. Does God have to do that? Does God have to look at what he did and then pat himself on the back and say, good job, God? Because there was no one else to say that at the time. God said it. How do you understand such a pasuk? We can't go through life understanding psukim like a 5-year-old. We have to go, we have to revisit those psukim. And God saw all that he created and it was good. Good. Like Taiv, it's not good for man to be alone. The word Taiv does not mean good. Matz isha, matz Taiv. Like Taiv, yes, anu levadai. With a wife is Taiv. Without a wife is not Taiv. It's more than good. Taiv means... Taiv means... I'll give you a mashal what Taiv means. It's a mashal for life. Never to be cheap on your kids. I was in Amazing Savings and I saw a Lego kit. It was like a space vehicle, huge space vehicle. It was $5. I wanted to get it from Mandy. $5. How can you go wrong? It's $5. It's Lego. But it's not real Lego. It's fake Lego.
Mega blocks.
It wasn't Mega blocks. It looked exactly like Lego. But it's not. And there were other things there that were like $10, $12, $13. This was $5. So I bought it. I got home from the airport. I came back to Israel from the airport. So Mandy, look what I got for you. A spaceship, a Lego spaceship. You have no idea how much I paid for it. Whoa, did I go overboard. Come, put it together, snap the pieces together. It's a huge thing. It's a zak. Mandy picks it up when we finish it. We did it together, a beautiful father and son thing, bonding time. Bonding to bonding. It wasn't bonding. He picks it up, he tries to play with it, and it comes apart in his hands. He looks at it, you're like, oh no, he's going to cry. The whole thing fell apart because it was fake Lego. Now, what's the nafka meaning between good Lego and fake Lego? With good Lego, the pieces interlock. And there's a, okay, there's a zacher and there's an akeva. Modern Hebrew, they do the same thing. There's a zacher and akeva. There's a male piece and there's a female piece. There's a piece that projects and then there's a piece that's a makabel. And the piece that, you know, the pieces that stick out, they're made to take up the perfect amount of space in the hole that they go in, and they're shaped in the precise manner that when you apply pressure between the protrusions and the holes that they go into, the snaps. It's like a feat of engineering. It's like a little bit larger.
Daddy?
But it's made so that the hole that goes into spreads open a little bit. It's like, it's so it snaps, and once it snaps, to take it apart. They have a special tool in these Lego kits to take them apart, because you try and take them apart with your fingers. It doesn't work. You try and use your fingernails, they crack. There's a special plastic tool that they hook onto the Lego block. It's like a wrench, and it pulls off the Lego block to get it. Otherwise, you can't take it apart. But the fake Legos, they're not made with such precision. And they probably don't have the tools, the dies and the casts and the metals to make such a thing. So the protrusions are too small, or the holes are too big, or maybe both. So they go in, but they come out very easily. And that's why they're $5, an amazing savings, because nobody else is going to buy them unless someone like me wants to be cheap on his son by buying something an amazing savings.
Oh, I take home extra.
This is Taiv. In short, Bekitzer, Taiv is good Legos. Real Legos. That means it's manufactured in a way that is perfect for chibur, to join with something else. Even before you join it, it's engineered for chibur. That's taiv. Lo taiv hayos adam levadai. It's not taiv for man to be by himself, because he's by himself. It's like you have the Lego blocks with the thing sticking out of it without the Lego blocks to stick them into. So what's taiv about that? There's no chibur. He has to have someone else to join together, because the sight of the olam is that things are created imperfect, and you have to find something that complements yourself, which is a female, and then you join together.
Do we ever talk about Yosef in terms of Tov?
Oh, Shalom now. Yosef, if you mean that Yosef is a semel of Chibur Taiv and not Chibur Lo Taiv, Yosef's meat is the meat of his side. And the meat of his side is that not all Chibur is kosher. The Avos, they represented Chibur Taiv. And Yosef represented staying away from Chibur Lo Taiv. That's why he did, he personified that by his conduct with Eishes Potiphar. Eishes Potiphar was cheap Lego. She didn't fit. Stay away from her. Is that what you meant? Not exactly. Okay, in any case, you were right. Even though you were wrong, you were right. Which is really good. But see, Yeshua Tzadik is an example of light type. Chibur lo nachon. Matzisha matzataiv is you find the right wife, so now you are roi for chibur. Hatavas haneiros. My Rebbe Moshe Shapira Shlita says Hatavas haneiros is a lot more than just making the wicks nice and putting them in the right direction. Every avodah in the Mishkan was an avodah on two levels. It's an avodah of using the physical materials to perform physical acts, that lead to physical functions. And then there's the kavana behind it. Pasuk says that Aaron did k'mesha tziva Hashem as Moshe. Aaron did exactly the way Hashem commanded Moshe. Rashi brings down malamet she Aaron leishina. He didn't deviate. There's a lot of ink written on this Rashi. What's the shevach of Aaron that he didn't deviate? Yeah, God tells Moshe to tell Aaron to do something, and Aaron did exactly what he was told. Anybody would have done that. What's Melamed Shalai Shina? That Aaron did exactly what he was commanded. So you learn from that. He didn't deviate. But Aaron, you think that Aaron was gripped by this tremendous taiva to use an electric lamp in the base of Midrash instead of oil?
His children were.
Good point. Okay, so he wasn't there. He wasn't his kids. You're referring to Nadav and Aviyu. But Nadav and Aviyu, you see, Nadav and Aviyu, they didn't change an avodah that they were commanded to do an avodah a certain way. They created a new avodah. The kabbalists that they were commanded in Nadav and Aviyu did exactly the way they were told. But they brought their own fire in. They were never told not to do that, They were never told not to bring in their own fire. On the other hand, they were never told yes to bring in their own fire. So they did something new. But the things that they were commanded, even not even you did exactly. So what's the Shevach of Aaron? The Lamish Leshina. Lamish Leshina. I mean, I've heard many pshatim on this. I have one pshat that since there's seven lights, so the ones on the, I think the ones on the right are Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. And then, and the ones on the left are Yosef, Aaron, and David. And the one in the middle is Moshe. The seven is Pizn. And you had to be Mechav in the wicks, that the ones, the three on the right side and the three on the left side, go towards the middle. So that means that Aaron had to take the wick that represented him and turn it towards the middle. So that was a big nesayin, to take his wick and turn it towards the middle one, which is Moshe. That means he has to be mechni himself to Moshe. I don't know who said it. I don't want to say anything harsh out of Derech Eretz who said it, but I don't think that really answers the question. Lamish Leshina. I once heard it. So it was a nesayin for him, because he had to push his wick towards Moshe. I don't understand the word. Do you understand it? Doesn't answer the question.
Wasn't a sign for him in
Melamish Leshina. Can we understand on a higher level? In this world, we're given Bechira. And Bechira means you can really do whatever you want. In this world, Shina is possible. You have to make a chesed with it. It's worth it. But in this world, Shina is possible. If someone's a maimin, he's Mishana, so then what's the net gain? What's the loss? What's the Tavi, Lodin Tavi, Tabi Mischashiv Schamitza Kenegrev Seda. You're supposed to make a cheshbon. How much are you going to lose by doing an aver, and what's the net gain? Is it worth it? What it comes down to, the person really has a choice. And you can make choices that are unwise for him. And you can deliberately make unwise choices. So this is the world of Shinui. Shinui means that you could deviate. Hashem wants one way, and you could do another way. It's only in this world. There is no Shinui in the Olam HaEmes. There's only Shinui in the world which is a perception. Our world is the world that there's a perception that Hashem doesn't always get what he wants. It's only a perception. Because even when we do what he doesn't want, Hashem wants that. And in the end, Hashem always gets what he wants. Melamish Leshina is that when Aaron was lighting the Neiris, he was lighting it on two levels. He was taking a physical light, lighting a physical Neir, and it's going to give off physical light. But Aaron was also connecting our world, which is the world of limits, which is the world of nature, which is the world where things are finite, and they're defined, and there's a certain amount that could burn and no more. He was connecting it to a higher existence where none of these limits exist. And the light from the higher world was fused with the light from this world. And that light that shone in the Mishkan had more to it than just the physical light. There was a connection. We know that the holiest place in this world is the Makom HaMikdash, and the holiest structure in the world is the actual Mikdash. And that's the place where Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals his presence more than anywhere else. And that's all the blessing, all the bracha, all the chiyas that comes to this world. It comes to this world through one point. And then it spreads from that point. And Kadosh Baruch Hu does not send chiyas directly from Shemayim to every place in this world simultaneously. It's not a one-step process. That every single person or animal or flower or bumblebee in this world gets chiyas directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu min HaShemayim. It's not a one-step process. It's a multi-step process. And one of the steps is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends chiyas to this world, to a physical place on this world, a physical structure on this world called the Beis HaMikdash. And then it's channeled to every single person, animal, vegetable, mineral in this world. So anything in this world gets its chiyas from the Makom HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, but we still have a Makom HaMikdash. Like the Gemara says, Karka Einu Nigzelus. Karka Einu Nigzelus. They could take the building away. They could plow it up. But the Makom HaMikdash we have. And the Kedusha of the Makom HaMikdash is the Olam. So it's gepaskened in the Rambam that the kedusha of Makom HaMikdash, the Kuliyama, is not but the Olam, and what that means for us is that the world still lives. If the kedusha of HaMikdash would be butl, then the world would cease to exist, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu does not connect with this world directly. He does it in stages, and the final stage is he connects with the physical part of this world to the Makom HaMikdash. And then Sadna the Arachadu, that once Hashem connects with the Makom HaMikdash, so that anything else that has a chibur to the Makom HaMikdash also benefits from that chiyus. So everything in the world is connected to the Makom HaMikdash, because it's just one big global mass of land. Whatever, it's one chiyus. The Mishkan was that place before the Hashem, before the Beis HaMikdash was built. Nafkamina between the Mishkan and the Makom HaMikdash is the Mishkan was not kavua in one place. So the Makom HaMikdash was defined by wherever the Mishkan was. Once they built the Beis HaMikdash, so the Makom HaMikdash is kavua. It's there. It's, you know, it has latitude, it has geographical location, and it never moves. It's that area on the other side of the Kaisam Ravi. And that was after the Beis HaMikdash was built, and there was such a thing as a Makom HaMikdash. And the Makom HaMikdash has Kedusha even though there's no Mikdash. But before, but the Mishkan was for Keret. The Makom HaKadusha, because the Mishkan was on it, and if the Mishkan was dismantled and removed, then the Makom lost its Kadusha and the new place had the Kadusha. There's enough Kamina between the Kadusha's Makom of the Mikdash and the Kadusha's Makom of the Mishkan, because the Kadusha's Makom of the Mikdash is Kavua. It's the Makom of Mikdash, whether the Mikdash is on there or not. Mikdash is destroyed. The ground underneath it is the place of the Mikdash.
Is there already Kedusha there even before the Beis HaMikdash was built?
You're talking about it was potential.
Yaakov
Vino, Yitzchak Kodakedu was there. Avraham Avinu went to Davin and Shachar.
They felt there was something special there.
Yeah, that's the place which is Roy. I mean, the Midrashim talk about it openly, although we don't understand them. But the Midrashim said the stone that Yaakov Vino rested his head on, stone, the Yaakov rested his head on, so he planted in the ground and went down to the center of the earth, and it's called the Evan Shasiya. So that means that there was a Gemar in Maisa Bereishis when Yaakov Avinu woke up from his dream. I mean, I don't know what it means, but what it does mean is that the earth, the globe, us, land, earth, terra firma, was not finished yet. Because the connection between Shemayim and earth was not finished yet. Until Yaakov Avinu lied down there, he had his dream, he was Mechaber Shemayim and Earth, and it was Taif.
So
seems that there are two, that there were, then when the English comes around, there are two places that Hashem is mashpia to.
What are the two?
Makom HaMikdash and the Mishkan.
No, see, the Mishkan wasn't a place. It was a Makom Chibur because the Mishkan was there. So it wasn't mitzad the place. It was mitzad the binyan.
There can't be two, right? That's what he said in the beginning of our mitzvah, that there's only one emtza. And if Hashem is mashpia in two places, then it's not misyachas, just Hashem.
Well, if it's something that keeps moving around, it's not really a place.
But when it's there?
It's not because of the place, it's because of the Mishkan. I'm saying it's not a competing place. A place that's only there because something's built on top of it is not a place. It's not mitzad the Makkah, it's mitzad the Binyan on top. The Kedusha of Mishkan was Makadosh the Makkah as long as it was there. It had a dinner of Eretz Yisrael. Remember, it had a dinner of Eretz Yisrael. When the Bnei Yisrael were traveling through the Midbar, because they were going there with the Mishkan, so wherever they were in Eretz Yisrael. In the middle, they were in Eretz Yisrael. They had a traveling Eretz Yisrael.
Rashi.
Like a traveling sukkah. You know, they have these sukkahs that I just saw a new one that's, it comes with a pump, it's inflatable. You put it down, turn on the pump, and then it just slowly comes up until you have four walls, and then there's a mat that you roll on top, and wherever you are, you have a sukkah. You want to go back in the car, you deflate it, I think the pump does that too.
This is the sunroof.
No. Through Zion, all Zion. And then you put it in your car and drive off.
It's been a cool one.
So Aaron says, at the Lashon HaMedrash, going back to the Lashon HaMedrash, Ata shachog de'le mishalahem. Your chelik is greater than their chelik. Sh'ata meitiv u'madlik is aneiris. You meitiv them and you madlik them. The lashon is specific. It's dafka. Number one, you meitiv them. The your avoda, you are, and your avoda is to be mechaber. That when you prepare the neiris, you're not preparing the neiris for them just to light an earthly fire. To light, to illuminate the Mishkan and its environs. You're lighting, you're being Meitiv, you're Hachana. Meitiv is the Hachana. Your preparation is because the goal, the purpose of your preparation is to connect the wicks, which are physical wicks, and the light that comes through those wicks when they're on fire should emanate, should come from a place without limits. That's the Meitiv. And then once you're Meitiv Mamish means that his Kavana when he did it, was he's doing it because by lighting the Neiris, there's going to be light that comes from somewhere else into this world. It's a light, a physical light enables a person to see in the dark. Go down to the cellar, you're trying to find something. Of course, you bump your knees on something that you didn't see. You turn on a flashlight, and now you see clearly what you didn't see before. That's what physical light does, and that's all physical light does. Okay, physical light, if it's dark, you can use physical light to see a safer. And you can become a chacham because of physical light. But the light of the Mishkan, the light of the Naira, is the light of understanding things clearly. The light, when they lit the menorah, the world became a place that it was easier to see things as they really are. You have someone that's a faker. So in a time when there's no Mishkan, in a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and there's no menorah being lit, you might not be able to see through his disguise. He was a faker. A good faker. He knows the Ma'amakimus, you know. He doesn't learn a word. But he knows the Mamba Kaimis. He starts throwing things around. He could fool people. Because in a world that all you have is physical light, so you could fool someone. You could put on a mask. You could have plastic surgery. Although, you know. But in a world where there's a Mishkan, or a Beis HaMikdash, there's a Menorah, so the light that shines in the world is not just fire. Kadosh Baruch Hu sends light in the world through the fire. In the fire, Kadosh Baruch Hu uses the physical fire as a keli to hide the fire of God's wisdom in the world. And the world becomes a smarter place, and you see things for what they really are. So if you have someone that he's faking, he looks like a tzaddik, but he's really a rasha. In a world where there's a menorah, you'll be able to see that. Or if somebody looks like he's a pashta person, and he's really a tzaddik, you'll see that too. There's a maisa. There's a maisa with a Eliyahu Lapian. It's a maisa he used to say over, but he never said it was about himself. But it was about himself. His Talmud, Reb Shalom Shvadran, writes about it in the Hakdama to the Sefer Lev Eliyahu. Rabbi El Lapian, his wife was deathly ill. And the doctors were treating her, and she was getting sicker and sicker and nearer to death. And they gave up hope. And Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian was told that it's just a matter of time before she dies. He was with his wife the whole time. When he heard that news, he walked outside of his house. His wife's dying. An elderly man approaches him and says, "What's wrong? What are you doing here?" He said, "It's a Shvira Matzev. Wife is dying." He said, "So what are you doing here? There's a plant. Go outside of town, at the edge of town. There's a plant. This is what it looks like. Go pick it. Boil it up." He told him how to prepare it. "Give it to your wife quickly. There's not a moment to lose." He went to the edge of town, found the plant. He cooked it up. He gave it to his wife. And she was able to, whatever, she was able to take it. It was like a soup. And she didn't die. And she got better. And better. And she recovered. And Rav Lapian used to say this story over to his Talmidim. He never said it was about himself. Except one time, that's how we know. I'm saying the Talmidim were chayshe said it was about himself. They were chayshe was about himself. They asked him. I think Rav Shalom writes that they asked him. They were chayshe was about himself. And he believed that that old man was a shliach from Shemayim because it wasn't his wife's time to go in this world. And it's called Gilui Eliyahu. Gilui Eliyahu Navi. One time Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian was traveling and he was in the city of the Ger Rebbe, and he went to see the Ger Rebbe and he wanted a bracha from the Ger Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, as soon as he saw Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian, he said, "Somebody that had Gilui Eliyahu is coming to me for a bracha." And Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian said to the Ger Rebbe, "Someone that could tell that I had Gilui Eliyahu, from him I want a bracha." Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the R that filled the world in the time of the Mishkan. You were able to see things because the world was illuminated. Right, the Ger Rebbe was the Ger Rebbe. The Ger Rebbe was the Ger Rebbe. He was shy. The Ger Rebbe was on a madrega and he was shy to that. He was shy to it. He was able to see. It's a bechina of Ner Dolik al Roshev Rayam Yisayf Eilam at Saif Eilam. The baby in the mother's stomach has a candle on his head. Don't take that literally. And he could see from one end of the world to the other. That means he could understand everything from one end of the world to the other. That everything is an open book to him. That's a Tavis HaNeiros. That's what Aaron did. And he was Meitiv, the Neiros. Malamich Leshina, Chaira, we can continue this with Shem, but it's getting a little late. Malamich Leshina, as the Aaron didn't deviate, that means that he entered the world where there's no deviation possible. Doesn't mean he didn't deviate. He wasn't going to deviate. Maybe I should do it this way. He wasn't going to deviate. It means that when he lit it, his state, you want to say his state of being, was there is no deviation. In the Mishkan, even though it's a physical place, in a physical building, in a physical world, where choices are possible, where you could choose to go one way or another, you can make good choices or bad choices, and you can make mistakes. But that's just the way things look. But when you see things, that's because we don't see things in this world. What's wrong looks like right. What's right looks like wrong. Or perhaps we don't have anything clear at all. Everything looks, as they say in Hebrew, mitush-tash. Everything looks like blurry. We can't even see straight. So we make wrong, bad choices. Out of confusion. Out of bad judgment. But that's in this world. For Kadosh Baruch Hu would show us the way things truly are, we wouldn't be able to see any other alternatives. Everything would be so clear, we wouldn't have a hard time making the right decision. We wouldn't have a hard time at all making the right decision. It would just be clear. There'd be no point to the world. And there's no shini possible. That Aaron brought himself up to that level. So Lashina doesn't mean that he didn't deviate. Lashina means there's no deviation. Is that clear?
Yeah. Why was he zoka to this?
Aaron?
No, because he wanted to do what the Nisim did, he was zoka to this. Gila. What about that Ratzon? Oh, this first.
Isn't it?
We see that by
Archonikim and Ars? We see that by Archonikim and Ars. The Zanhog of Chassidim and Achamaisa and Grace the Rebbe's, that when you light them, they sit by them and look at them. And it's not even such a Chassidim, it's not a Chassidim Sheminig, it's Elzareis and Bovad. It's not even a Chassidim Shazacher. They sit and look at the light because it's the one time that you can look into eternity. And you look at light and you're looking at spirituality. You don't always have that opportunity.
So what was Aaron's zechus for this tov?
Aaron was the Ayiv Shalom, the Raid of Shalom. Ayiv is a Bias Mechaber and a Taira. He was the one that brought chiburim. There were things that were supposed to be together and they were apart. And Aaron had the chokmah to see that they had to be together, and he knew how to bring them together. So he had the chokmah, chibur. So he was zeicher to perform the ultimate chibur, that he connected this world to a world that everything, all life comes from. And there's a big divide between the two. You know, it's a mechitza. But Aaron HaKohen, it wasn't a mechitza. To Aaron HaKohen, it was all one. He saw the point of contact. That's in Tzadzak. Rav Huttner talks about this in the beginning of one of his farm, Nagdama. In the physical universe, the deeper you go into the molecular world and into the atomic world, the more chiyas you see. You see a dead igneous rock. Dead. It's a dead rock. There's no life in there. It's not a plant. It's dry. It's dead. There's no activity. And you look, you take a sample of it, put it under a microscope, and you see cells. You see it's complex. And then you go further into an electron microscope, and then you see light. You see protons, neutrons, electrons, and you see movement. And it's moving pretty quickly. There's orbits and there's a lot of energy. And you go, if you're able to penetrate the next level, it's the level of the quark universe. And we know how much energy there is in an atom. We know how much. There's enough energy in one button, in a shirt button, to blow up this entire planet. And this is all the physical universe. But he says that the more you split things, you know, the more you split the physical apart, so the further you're getting away from physical. And there comes a point you keep splitting it apart, splitting it apart, splitting it apart, and you're getting close to the makam hachibur between the physical and the spiritual. There is a point of contact between the two. And the spiritual is energy without limit. Even to call it energy is not the right word. Chiyus without limit. And the physical, everything is limited. And there's a point where they connect. And you know what? The point where they connect is where the physical keeps getting split apart so much that if you split it more, it's not even physical. At some point, you keep splitting it, it gets less physical, less physical, less physical. It has less physical properties, it's just so minuscule that it's roy to be mischaber to something spiritual. And that's the point of the greatest chiyus. He said, you know, nobody has ever gotten to that point. They talk about the Higgs boson, you know, the God particle. The God particle, called the Higgs boson. They know that it's a sheirish of matter is ruchnius. But in just the physical world alone, you see that you can get close to it. The molecular universe is alive. It's powerful. It's close to chiyus. But, you know, on a regular level, you take a look at a rock. It's a rock. Remember, a gift to tell me that there was a physicist that he wanted to ask his class to describe a chair. So they started describing it in molecular terms and the fibers that make it up and the different elements. And he says, in this classroom, that's what it is. But outside this classroom, it's a chair. And if you say this is what it is outside, he says, yeah, how do you mind? He says, it's a chair. And the classroom is what it is. It's a cellulose with that. Okay, everybody, say, thank you so much.
Sure.